Today is December 8th. Welcome to the Daily Audio Bible. I'm Brian, and I am thrilled, honored, very pleased to be here with you today as we read from the New International Version this week and in the book of Hosea today, chapter 10, verse 1 through 14, verse 9. Israel was a spreading vine. He brought forth fruit for himself. As his fruit increased, he built more altars. As his land prospered, he adorned his sacred stones. Their heart is deceitful, and now they must bear their guilt. The Lord will demolish their altars and destroy their sacred stones. Then they will say, "We have no king, because we did not revere the Lord. But even if we had a king, what could he do for us?" They make many promises, take false oaths, and make agreements. Therefore, lawsuits spring up like poisonous weeds in a plowed field. The people who live in Samaria fear for the calf idol of Beth-Aven. Its people will mourn over it, and so will its idolatrous priests, those who had rejoiced over its splendor, because it is taken from them into exile. It will be carried to Assyria as tribute for the great king. Ephraim will be disgraced. Israel will be ashamed of its foreign alliances. Samaria's king will be destroyed, swept away like a twig on the surface of the waters. The high places of wickedness will be destroyed. It is the sin of Israel. Thorns and thistles will grow up and cover their altars. They will say to the mountains, "Cover us," and to the hills, "Fall on us." Since the days of Gibeah you have sinned, Israel, and there you have remained. Will not war again overtake the evildoers in Gibeah? When I please, I will punish them. Nations will be gathered against them, to put them in bonds for their double sin. Ephraim is a trained heifer that loves to thresh, so I will put a yoke on her fair neck. I will drive Ephraim. Judah must plow, and Jacob must break up the ground. Sow righteousness for yourselves. Reap the fruit of unfailing love and break up your unplowed ground. For it is time to seek the Lord until he comes and showers his righteousness on you. But you have planted wickedness. You have reaped evil. You have eaten the fruit of deception because you have depended on your own strength and on your many warriors. The roar of battle will rise against your people, so that all your fortresses will be devastated. As Shalman devastated Beth Arbel on the day of battle, when mothers were dashed to the ground with their children, so will it happen to you, Bethel, because your wickedness is great. When that day dawns, the king of Israel will be completely destroyed. When Israel was a child, I loved him, and out of Egypt I called my son. But the more they were called, the more they went away from me. They sacrificed to the Baals, and they burned incense to images. It was I who taught Ephraim to walk, taking them by the arms, but they did not realize it was I who healed them. I led them with cords of human kindness, with ties of love. To them I was like one who lifts a little child to the cheek, and I bent down to feed them. Will they not return to Egypt? And will not Assyria rule over them because they refuse to repent? A sword will flash in their cities. It will devour their false prophets and put an end to their plans. My people are determined to turn from me, even though they call me God Most High. I will by no means exalt them. How can I give you up, Ephraim? How can I hand you over, Israel? How can I treat you like Admah? How can I make you like Zeboiim? My heart is changed within me. All my compassion is aroused. I will not carry out my fierce anger, nor will I devastate Ephraim again. For I am God and not a man, the Holy One among you. I will not come against their cities. They will follow the Lord. He will roar like a lion. When he roars, his children will come trembling from the west. They will come from Egypt, trembling like sparrows. from Assyria, fluttering like doves. I will settle them in their homes, declares the Lord. Ephraim has surrounded me with lies, Israel with deceit, and Judah is unruly against God, even against the faithful Holy One. Ephraim feeds on the wind. He pursues the east wind all day and multiplies lies and violence. He makes a treaty with Assyria and sends olive oil to Egypt. The Lord has a charge to bring against Judah. He will punish Jacob according to his ways and repay him according to his deeds. In the womb he grasped his brother's heel. As a man, he struggled with God. He struggled with the angel and overcame him. He wept and begged for his favor. He found him at Bethel and talked with him there. The Lord, God Almighty, the Lord is his name. But you must return to your God. Maintain love and justice and wait for your God always. The merchant uses dishonest scales and loves to defraud. Ephraim boasts, I am very rich. I have become wealthy. With all my wealth, they will not find in me any iniquity or sin. I have been the Lord your God ever since you came out of Egypt. I will make you live in tents again, as in the days of your appointed festivals. I spoke to the prophets, gave them many visions, and told parables through them. Is Gilead wicked? Its people are worthless. Do they sacrifice bulls in Gilgal? Their altars will be like piles of stones on plowed field. Jacob fled to the country of Aram. Israel served to get a wife, and to pay for her he tended sheep. The Lord used a prophet to bring Israel up from Egypt. By a prophet he cared for him, but Ephraim has aroused his bitter anger. His Lord will leave on him the guilt of his bloodshed and will repay him for his contempt. When Ephraim spoke, people trembled. He was exalted in Israel, but he became guilty of Baal worship and died. Now they sin more and more. They make idols for themselves from their silver, cleverly fashioned images, all of them the work of craftsmen. It is said of these people, they offer human sacrifices. They kiss calf idols. Therefore, they will be like the morning mist, like the early dew that disappears, like chaff swirling from a threshing floor, like smoke escaping through a window. But I have been the Lord your God ever since you came out of Egypt. You shall acknowledge no God but me, no Savior except me. I cared for you in the wilderness, in the land of burning heat. When I fed them, they were satisfied. When they were satisfied, they became proud. Then they forgot me. So, I will be like a lion to them. Like a leopard, I will lurk by the path. Like a bear robbed of her cubs, I will attack them and rip them open. Like a lion, I will devour them. A wild animal will tear them apart. You are destroyed, Israel, because you are against me, against your helper. Where is your king that he may save you? Where are your rulers in all your towns, of whom you said, give me a king and princes? So in my anger I gave you a king, and in my wrath I took him away. The guilt of Ephraim is stored up. His sins are kept on record. Pains, as of a woman in childbirth, come to him. But he is a child without wisdom. When the time arrives, he doesn't have the sense to come out of the womb. I will deliver this people from the power of the grave. I will redeem them from death. Where, O death, are your plagues? Where, O grave, is your destruction? I will have no compassion, even though he thrives among his brothers. An east wind from the Lord will come, blowing in from the desert. His spring will fail, and his well dry up. His storehouse will be plundered of all its treasures. The people of Samaria must bear guilt because they have rebelled against their God. They will fall by the sword. Their little ones will be dashed to the ground, their pregnant women ripped open. Return, Israel, to the Lord your God. Your sins have been your downfall. Take words with you and return to the Lord. Say to him, forgive all our sins and receive us graciously, that we may offer the fruit of our lips. Assyria cannot save us. We will not mount war horses. We will never again say, our gods, to what our own hands have made. For in you the fatherless find compassion. I will heal their waywardness and love them freely, for my anger has turned away from them. I will be like the dew to Israel. He will blossom like a lily, like a cedar of Lebanon. He will send down his roots. His young shoots will grow. His splendor will be like an olive tree, his fragrance like a cedar of Lebanon. People will dwell again in his shade. They will flourish like the grain. They will blossom like the vine. Israel's fame will be like the wine of Lebanon. Ephraim, what more have I to do with idols? I will answer him and care for him. I am like a flourishing juniper. Your fruitfulness comes from me. Who is wise? Let them realize these things. Who is discerning? Let them understand. The ways of the Lord are right. The righteous walk in them, but the rebellious stumble in them. So we've come to the epistle or letter of Jude. And this is it. This is the second to the last book in the New Testament. It's a mere 25 verses, and yet it packs a very direct and succinct punch. We don't know a whole lot about Jude's background and his life. We do know that he was the half-brother of Jesus and the brother of James, neither of whom believed that Jesus was the Christ, the Son of God, during his earthly ministry. But his resurrection from the dead seems to have changed their viewpoints considerably, and understandably. We do not know exactly who Jude wrote this letter to, other than that we know he wrote it to Christians. He wrote to vigorously combat a false doctrine that was going through the church that basically said that the grace of God through Jesus gives us license to do whatever we want to do. And so some people were misbehaving in all sorts of inappropriate ways. Jude hits this on the head and directly as false doctrine and challenges believers to contend for their faith. These are very good words as we turn the corner and head into the final chapters of the Bible. For the life of faith is something we must contend for. Jude 1, 1 through 25. Jude, a servant of Jesus Christ and a brother of James, to those who have been called, who are loved in God the Father and kept for Jesus Christ, may peace and love be yours in abundance. Dear friends, although I was very eager to write to you about the salvation we share, I felt compelled to write and urge you to contend for the faith that was once for all entrusted to God's holy people. For certain individuals whose condemnation was written about long ago have secretly slipped in among you. They are ungodly people who pervert the grace of our God into a license for immorality and deny Jesus Christ, our only sovereign and Lord. Though you already know all this, I want to remind you that the Lord, at one time, delivered his people out of Egypt, but later destroyed those who did not believe. And the angels who did not keep their positions of authority, but abandoned their proper dwelling, these he has kept in darkness, bound with everlasting chains, for judgment on the great day. In a similar way, Sodom and Gomorrah and the surrounding towns gave themselves up to sexual immorality and perversion. They serve as an example of those who suffer the punishment eternal fire. In the very same way, on the strength of their dreams, these ungodly people pollute their own bodies, reject authority, and heap abuse on celestial beings. But even the Archangel Michael, when he was disputing with the devil about the body of Moses, did not himself dare to condemn him for slander, but said, "The Lord rebuke you." Yet these people slander whatever they do not understand, and the very things they do understand by instinct, as irrational animals do, will destroy them. Woe to them! They have taken the way of Cain. They have rushed for profit into Balaam's error. They have been destroyed in Korah's rebellion. These people are blemishes at your love feasts, eating with you without the slightest qualm. Shepherds who feed only themselves. They are clouds without rain, blown along by the wind. Autumn trees without fruit and uprooted, twice dead. They are wild waves of the sea, foaming up their shame. Wandering stars, for whom blackest darkness has been reserved forever. Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied about them. See, the Lord is coming, with thousands upon thousands of his holy ones, to judge everyone and to convict all of them of the ungodly acts they have committed in their ungodliness, and of all the defiant words ungodly sinners have spoken against him. These people are grumblers and fault finders. They follow their own evil desires. They boast about themselves and flatter others for their own advantage. But, dear friends, remember what the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ foretold. They said to you, "In the last times, there will be scoffers who will follow their own ungodly desires. These are the people who divide you, who follow mere natural instincts and do not have the Spirit. But you, dear friends, by building yourselves up in your most holy faith and praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in God's love as you wait for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to bring you to eternal life. Be merciful to those who doubt. Save others by snatching them from the fire. To others, show mercy mixed with fear, hating even the clothing stained by corrupted flesh. To him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy. To the only God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, power, and authority. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, before all ages, now and forevermore. Amen." Psalm 127, 1 through 5. A Song of Ascents of Solomon. Unless the Lord builds the house, the builders labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the guards stand watch in vain. In vain you rise early and stay up late, toiling for food to eat, for he grants sleep to those he loves. Children are a heritage from the Lord, offspring a reward from him. Like arrows in the hands of a warrior are children born in one's youth. Blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. They will not be put to shame when they contend with their opponents in court. Proverbs 29:15 through 17. A rod and a reprimand impart wisdom, but a child left undisciplined disgraces its mother. When the wicked thrive, so does sin, but the righteous will see their downfall. Discipline your children and they will give you peace. They will bring you the delights you desire. Okay, I'm going to show you just how dynamic scripture can be. Now, This is unplanned. This is something that I was thinking maybe I would talk about tomorrow. So the Daily Audio Bible Family Christmas card is released, and it's probably sitting in your hard drive, or you just haven't gotten to it. Maybe some of you have listened to it. Maybe you've listened to it first. So you would be aware of this already. So the psalm is poignant. Unless the Lord builds the house, the builders labor in vain. That is a life verse for me. That is one of the fundamental things that guided my life into the direction that the Daily Audio Bible would even have fertile soil to germinate. That I would even be aware that God was trying to speak to me at all when this happened. I realized everything I'm trying to do in my own strength. My life is all about me. It's centered around me. Everybody's a pawn or a player on the stage of my life. And yet the scripture says, unless the Lord's building the house, a builder's labor in vain. And that was so true, because life seemed to be coming apart brick by brick. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the guards stand watch in vain. It doesn't matter what you try to do. If God isn't present, it doesn't matter. It's not going to work. So in vain you rise early and stay up late, toiling for food to eat. He even gives you sleep to the one he loves. Right? So beautiful, beautiful words of deep encouragement that really speak to this idea of shift. We don't have to live the crazy life that we're sucked into every day. But here's where it gets dynamic. Here's where it gets relevant. Here's where it gets interesting. Children are a heritage from the Lord. Offspring a reward for him. Like arrows in the hands of a warrior are children born in one's youth. Blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. So, Jill and I had been thinking that our quiver might be one shy. And we began to think over the last 6 months, actually, since we got back from Africa, in increasing seriousness, what if we should have another hardened baby? And the more we thought about it, the more we thought that would be great. And we wondered if that would be possible, and we wondered what changes that would bring. And but that's all a moot point now. There will be another hardened baby. And this will be the first one born in the community of the Daily Audio Bible. So Jill and I are expecting to add one more baby to our quiver. And that's unpacked and discussed in a little more detail in the Daily Audio Bible Family Christmas. So I'm not going to spend a bunch of time here now, because I spent a bunch of time then. So I encourage you to listen to that. But I do covet your prayers. And I look forward to, like what I said on the Christmas card, I look forward to this child being raised up with this community, knowing and understanding the Word of God from the day he or she is born. So, children are a heritage from the Lord, offspring a reward from him. Like arrows in the hands of a warrior are children born in one's youth. Blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. And so, Father, we come before you thanking you for your word, and thank you for just a very real life example of how in your face and relevant and important it is in life. And I pray, God, for this new life. I can't wait to see what this story brings, and I can't wait to see what you're going to do. So we love you, We thank you for your word. We praise you in the name of Jesus. Amen. www.dailyaudiobible.com is the website. I know I was probably a little bit nonchalant about that, so there's some of you still going, wait a minute, did he just say what I think he said? I did. Yeah, I mean, so we had this planned out. We've only known for a few days, and we thought, okay, I gotta go to Colorado to Wild at Heart Advanced, and keep my mouth shut there, and press in prayer to what God's saying in the new season, the season of shift. What do I press into? What do I back away from, Lord, in this new season? I spent time in prayer about those things. And we came back and knew that we would need to kind of roll things out. We wanted our children to know before anybody. And with the speed of the internet and the global community that the Daily Audio Bible is, things were going to move fast. So I didn't say anything at boot camp or in Colorado. And we came back and shared the story with our children. And so we took China to lunch, and I just asked her, how would you feel about being a big sister? And she said, no, I wouldn't feel good about that at all. But then she looked at us. You know, you can tell how your children are looking at you in the eyes, right? Back and forth, just to see your facial expression. They're expecting that you're teasing, but they're wanting to make sure. And that's what she was doing. And she could see that this was serious. And she said, are you serious? And it was beautiful. And of course, it's an adjustment. Max was an extrovert. Just burst out into tears for 5 minutes, saying this was not a good plan. And he didn't like this. And then he wiped his eyes and said, okay, I thought about it. It's not as bad as I thought. This might even be cool. And now he's really warmed to the idea. Of course, the other two are a little bit older and surprised and getting their minds around it. And so are we. So are we, but it's a beautiful thing. And so we thank you for your prayers. I feel like going into all the announcements of the things that are going on is kind of anticlimactic. Climactic, and it is. But I want to say a couple of things. The Passages book audiobook is out, but there was some confusion in what I said yesterday. You can't get the Passages audio book at dailyaudiobible.com. We don't have the rights to distribute the audiobook from the publisher. And I wish we did. I mean, I've tried, but they don't want to do that. So you can get it at audible.audible.com. You can get it at iTunes. And those are the only two places that I am aware of currently that you can get the audiobook. You will be able to get the audiobook. Well, I take that back. You can also get the audiobook at barnesandnoble.com. Those are the three places that I am aware of. You will also get it anywhere else that you can get it eventually, at Amazon.com, for example. So that's where you can get the audiobook. You have to get it at a download site. And the ones that I know you can get it at now are BarnesandNoble.com, Audible.com, and iTunes. And as the others come online, we'll let you know. I do know that the Nook edition is available through Barnes & Noble, and that the Kindle edition is available at Amazon.com, as well as the hard copy editions that can be pre-ordered at just about any place. But we have hard copy editions in hand, and we're the only ones that have hard copy editions in hand now, and you can order those at DailyAudioBible.com. And everyone that you order from DailyAudioBible.com is signed, and I have the hand cramps to prove it. And you can get those from Daily Audio Bible. And if you order them from Daily Audio Bible, it obviously goes a long way in supporting the Daily Audio Bible. Okay, so there's your passages update. You know what? That's all I'm going to say. We've done enough for today. If you want to partner with the Daily Audio Bible, I do give you my humble thanks. This is a season where that is so deeply needed as we look into the new year. So thank you for your partnership. If you have a prayer request or comment, 877-942-4253 is the number to call. That's it for today. I love you very much. I'm Brian. I'll be waiting for you here tomorrow.
Hi, Daily Audio Bible family. This is James, teacher out in Los Angeles. I was not going to call in. And then I listened to the end of today's podcast, November 17th, and I realized I need to call in. I was listening to, I believe it's Michael in Louisiana, the teacher, said that he's feeling half-hearted, that he even felt like Jesus told him half-hearted. And he's asking for prayer to stop being selfish. And that is absolutely the first step. It's Michael, I'm getting this today, but you called in on, like, 26th, and I'm just excited to hear what the Lord's been doing in your life since that time. Because I'll tell you, I called in with almost the same prayer request about a month before that, and the Lord has been doing amazing things in my life. Daily Audio Bible family, I need to tell you guys a quick testimony. I got saved 10 years ago, 11 years ago, back in 2000. And my whole view of reality just shifted. It flipped upside down. I went from somebody who was completely committed to an almost sort of Buddhist view of the world and really just concerned with how I was going to live my life in such a way that I would injure as few people as possible and get as much pleasure as I could without breaking the law, to understanding that God was real, Jesus was real, Jesus was God, Jesus died on a cross and did it for my sins, and that I was free from my sin and was going to live with God forever, and that all my depressions and all my fears and all the things in my life no longer had to apply. And it hasn't been a beautiful walk in the park since then, by any means. I've had to grow and go up things and learn and learn and learn, but it wasn't very long before I realized that if all this stuff is true, why did it take 20 years for me to hear this? I was 20 years old before I actually heard it. But I grew up in a town. I grew up in Los Angeles. There's churches everywhere. There's church people everywhere. And I was reading the paper maybe a morning or two after I got saved and realized that this stuff was true and that Jesus was calling me, chasing me. And reading about Palestinians and Israelis fighting with each other, and I said to myself, don't they know? Why are they fighting over this land? Don't they know that the land belongs to Jesus? That Jesus can set them free and they don't have to be fighting with each other, that they're brothers? And I said to myself, no, they don't. Of course not. If they knew about Jesus, they'd be following Jesus. Maybe that was a bit naive, but I thought, well, who could tell them about Jesus? Anyone who speaks English and has a plane ticket. Just go there and tell them. And maybe they wouldn't want to hear it, but at least somebody would have gone and told them. And I realized, oh, that's what we call missionaries. I grew up in California where the word missionary is a bad word. And I asked my friend Bob beside me, who was hanging out in this house that we lived in college, hey man, you brought me to the Lord. Why isn't every Christian a missionary? And he really didn't have an answer except to say some sort of special gift. But family,
Hello, DAB family. This is Tom from Dallas, Texas. I'm really pleased to call you tonight. I'm actually not in Dallas right now. I'm in Chicago. I'm here for a trade show, and the last few days I've just kind of been walking the streets at night and talking to homeless and trying to help him out as I can. And I've been so blessed by being able to stop and help these people financially, as well as praying with them and for them. And these are God's people. They are praying with me. They know the scripture. They know the Lord's word. And please, let's just try and take some time to walk around where we live, or walk around where we are, and talk to people. Don't run from them, you know. Let's pray with them. God's going to move us to do some great things. Let's just be in the moment, be where we are with the people we're around, and live in God's moment. Let's live for him. And, you know, this is selfish, but please pray for me to help me to see what I need to do, because I have been so blessed these last few days. You know, just being able to be with people that I normally wouldn't be around, to be able to stop and pray with them, it has blessed me immensely. And I am grateful, but I feel like I might have a calling here. So if you would please pray for me. And actually, don't pray for me. I am blessed beyond any recognition. Please pray for the people that need our help. And let's live in the moment. Live in God's word wherever we are. Talk to people that maybe we normally wouldn't talk to. And find blessings there. God bless you all. I love you. I know God loves you. Brian, Jill, I am so thankful for what you do. God bless you. And let's try and live the way that we can.
Hello. My name is Beverly, and I am a daily audio Bible listener. And I am asking for prayer for my faith in the goodness of the Lord. I'm going through some struggles, and I know that God is good, and good is not singing like what I'm going through. So I need strength as a single mom, and for my health and my work, and also through a divorce. So those are things that seem overwhelming, but I know that God is good, and I'm trying to focus on that. So God bless you, and Jesus is my Lord and Savior, and he is the only way to heaven because of his blood that covers me and my household. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hi, family. This is Curtis from Houston. I was calling in for my wife, Cindy. This is something, she's having problems with her eyes. I know, Brian, you can relate to this. She's always had bad vision, but she went in here recently, and they're saying that she's a candidate for retinal detachment and glaucoma. They said she has the eyes of an 80-year-old, and that she's already lost 30% of her vision, and she's pretty upset, you know, understandably. So if you could just lift her up in prayer. She homeschools our daughter and needs to read a lot. So if you could just lift her up and keep her in your prayers, we'd appreciate it. Thank you, and God bless.